பிரம்மானந்தம்
பிரம்மானந்தம்
பரமசுகதம்
சாந்தி
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 சாந்தி சாந்தி. Being born a human being, one should have really punyam even to discover, understand what one really seeks in life. So we've been seeing in the previous classes, human being as the most sophisticated of all the beings, being endowed with this half knowledge that I am, and being blessed with the knowledge of values, right and wrong, naturally, being blessed with the faculty of choice, the free will to choose to do a given karma, he pursues many things. And those pursuits are artha, kama, dharma, moksha. You would have read it in the book. So we should be very clear, there is no fifth pursuit. All that one wants to achieve can be brought under either the artha or kama or dharma or moksha. So all the pursuits are equally important. No pursuit is inferior. No pursuit is unwanted. No pursuit is superior. All the pursuits are equally important. When I say artha, kama, dharma, moksha, that does not mean moksha is something to be attained last. It is only said moksha is something which is always sought after through all the pursuits. Through artha, through seeking security, through kama, through enjoyment of pleasures, through living a life of dharma, also what one always wants is moksha. So moksha is not something to be attained later on. So even though the word moksha means freedom, actually that implies that man seeks freedom from the unwanted, undesirable, which is unhappiness or sadness or sorrow. Therefore, this freedom from sorrow is in fact means happiness. So happiness is the ultimate end of human being. Happiness means being happy always, everywhere, with everybody. That is said to be limitless joy or limitless happiness. That is what we say is everlasting peace. That is the ultimate human end. Therefore, and I said, this everlasting peace or happiness is not something to be attained at all. Something to be discovered. Something to be understood. See, the lack of happiness is not due to the absence of happiness. The lack of happiness is due to the lack of the knowledge of what happiness is. Therefore, happiness is something to be known. And to know what that happiness is all about, I said there's a connection. One has to understand the very reality, the truth of the whole universe, whole jagat. Because the happiness and reality are two, they're not separable. Like sun and the illumining power are not separable. Sun, fire and the light, is not separable. Fire and the heat are not separable. Similarly, happiness and the reality are not separable. That means what? The reality, I use the word swarupam. Happiness is the very swarupam of the absolute reality. I explained the meaning of the word reality last class, because that which, suppose with reference to ocean, water is the reality. Why we say that? Without the water, the ocean has no independent existence. The word ocean will not have any meaning at all if we remove the water. Therefore, what is that which lends existence to the very, you know, meaning of the word ocean is what? Water. Therefore, water is the reality with reference to ocean. Gold is the reality with reference to an ornament. Wood is the reality with reference to this table. Why? Minus which, if I remove the wood from here, this table has no independent existence. The table will disappear. Therefore, what is that which lends existence to the whole jagat, whole entire cosmos of varieties of, you know, mobile or immobile, inert and sentient, insentient beings, varieties of beings and things, is that one reality. And that one reality we say absolute reality or ultimate truth. In Tamil we call it Paramparul. In Sanskritam we say Param Brahma, Brahma Vastu. So that reality, the whole jagat, no, that reality and this happiness are inseparable, like fire and heat. Understand? Why? Because the happiness is not an object, is not a thing, not even a state of mind. It is this very swarupam of the reality. Therefore, without knowing what the reality is, there's no way of knowing what happiness is. Without knowing what happiness is, there's no way of, you know, becoming happy. There's no way of being happy always, everywhere, and with everybody, and with everything and anything. Understand? So to become free from limitations, to become free from unhappiness, to become free from sadness, to become free from sorrow or grief, or any undesirable situation, the only way is one has to discover what happiness is. In order to discover what happiness is, one has to discover what the reality is. So discovering what the reality is, in fact, discovering what happiness is. That is why they are not two different things. Understand? First we say in the beginning, how we start? See, moksha is the ultimate human pursuit. Moksha is the paramaha purushartha, the most exalted of all the human four pursuits. We said that in the beginning. Then what is the means to accomplish that end? Knowledge of the reality. We say knowledge of the reality is the means to accomplish the end. The end, that is an end. We need a means. Means to accomplish the end is what? Knowledge of the reality. Now we say, knowledge of the reality itself is what? Discovering moksha. Discovering what happiness is. Therefore, now we say, knowledge of the reality and knowledge of what happiness is one and the same. Therefore, the means and the end are identical. This is the development of this class. Is it clear now? First we say, moksha is the ultimate end. Moksha means freedom. Freedom from sorrow is the ultimate end. Understand? And for which, what is the means to accomplish the end? Knowledge. Knowledge of the truth. Knowledge of the ultimate truth or knowledge of the absolute reality is the means to accomplish the end. One is sadhanam, other one is sadhyam. Sadhyam means end. Accomplished. That is to be accomplished is sadhyam. That which is to be accomplished is sadhyam. And sadhana means the means of accomplishment. The means using which you accomplish an end is called sadhanam. Sadhanam and sadhyam. Two different things. Then we say, knowledge of the reality itself is what? Knowledge of what happiness is. How? If you know what fire is, you also know what simultaneously what heat is. Why? Because it's intrinsic, inseparable property of the fire. If you say, oh, I don't understand the meaning of the word heat, I don't understand the meaning of the word brilliance. That means what? You do not know what the word fire means. So you are ignorant of fire. Understand? There is a word called fire, and that word means something. And heat and brilliance are the very intrinsic properties of that fire. Even knowing what the fire is itself is what? Knowing what the heat is, knowing what the light is, isn't it? You don't need to say, first you have to know the fire, then you will come to know what the heat is. It's not like that. Is it clear? Similarly, knowing what the reality is itself, knowing what happiness is, they're not two different things. That is why the means itself becomes an end. That we say, the jnanam and mokshaha, in the first stage, at first level, we understand as means and the end. At the second stage, second level, we understand jnanam itself is mokshaha. Jnanam sadhanam, okay? Mokshaha sadhyam. Then we say, jnanam visadhanam eva sadhyam mokshaha. They're identical. Then what happens now? Knowledge itself becomes the ultimate end of human life. Is it clear now? And then we said, I'm repeating here to make it very clear. And therefore, that knowledge of the reality of the whole jagat, how can I understand? You cannot know it elsewhere. Even the whole jagat is manifestation of the reality. The reality of the whole has to be understood, is available for understanding, recognition, only as the truth of the mind. Understand? When I say truth of the mind, listen carefully. The truth of the wave and the truth of the ocean is one and the same. If the wave happens to know the truth of the ocean, the wave has to know, the wave can know, the only possibility of wave knowing the truth of the ocean is what? Knowing the truth of its own self. Why? Every wave is part of the ocean. Similarly here, you human being part of the entire cosmos, when you need to know the truth of the entire ocean, the entire universe, cosmos, you need to know the truth of yourself. So knowing the truth of oneself means what? Knowing thyself. Understand now? Now we have come to the what? Mokshaha is the end. Mokshaha means freedom from unhappiness is the end. Therefore, happiness is the ultimate end. And to know that happiness, knowledge of the reality of the universe is the means. First I said, then knowledge of the reality itself is what? Discovering mokshaha. Discovering what happiness is. Therefore, knowledge and moksha are identical. Now I say, knowledge of the reality is in fact nothing but knowledge of the self. Understand? Therefore, knowledge of the self, knowledge of the reality of the whole universe, and knowledge of what happiness is are identical. One and the same. Understand? When I say knowledge of the self, the self of the wave is the self of the ocean. The truth, the self, the reality, all these words mean the same. So, okay, here this context. Therefore, we say knowing the substance of the substantive I, the first person singular pronoun, is in fact knowing the substance of the substantive universe. I tell you again, knowing the substance of the substantive wave is equal to knowing the substance of the substantive ocean. Similarly, knowing the substance or the meaning of the word I is equal to knowing the substance or the meaning of the word, okay, universe. Substance of the word universe is equal to. This is where I stopped last class. Then I said, and to have this jnanam, we need a means of knowledge. Definitely, to know the self, which is the truth of the whole cosmos. See, the truth of the entire jagat is available for recognition, for understanding as the very self, as the meaning of the word I. And to have this knowledge, one needs definitely a means of knowledge. And I said, Shastram is the only means of knowledge. And the Shastram also, one cannot study and understand by oneself. One has to study with the proper teacher, Sampradaya, with one who knows Sampradaya, the method of unfoldment, the teaching, one who knows the traditional teaching methodology. And even if the Shastram is available, teacher is available, even one has Purusharth Nischaya. I want to remind you this word. Remember that word, Purusharth Nischayaha. Please say that. Purusharth Nischayaha. Purusharth Nischayaha. Purusharth Nischayaha. In Sanskritam, the human pursuit, the English word, in Sanskritam we say Purushartha. Okay? Purushena Arthyate iti Purushartha. That which is sought after by a human being is called Purushartha. And we say Purushartha Nischeha means what? Nischeha means definite, okay? Being definite. Being definite about one's ultimate end being happiness, everlasting, no, limitless happiness. There's no doubt. What do you want ultimately? Doing everything, I want ultimately happiness, the peace. Okay, be definite, clear about one's ultimate end being mokshaha, that is happiness. Purushartha nischaya one must have. Then one should know, oh, this knowledge is the only means for that moksha. Also should be very clear. And what is the knowledge being the means for moksha? Knowledge and moksha are identical. They are not two different things. Should be very clear. Then knowledge of the reality of the jagat, in fact, and the knowledge of one's own self is one and the same. Being identical should be very clear. Then to have the knowledge of the self, again, I need definitely a means of knowledge. Even though all that I need to know is to know who I am, what I am. Because I was not even aware of the truth that I did not know who I was. I did not know all these days. I don't know that I do not know myself. I'm ignorant of my ignorance. Now I understand. Okay? Therefore, I need a means of knowledge and Shastram is the only means of knowledge. And even the Shastram is available, I need a teacher to unfold the meaning of the words of the Shastram. So teacher is there, Shastram is available, I'm also, because I have Purushartha Nischayaha, I'm very clear about my end being moksha. Moksha is only in the form of knowledge. It is something to be known, understood, not to be attained. Therefore, everything is very clear, but even then, everything is there, even then, for the knowledge, for the Shastra to be understood correctly, and for the knowledge to rise, and for the knowledge to be ascertained, I need some qualification. This is where I stopped class. Yes. Understand? I need to be qualified. Because what is the qualification required on the part of every aspirant, okay, every seeker, is antahkarana shuddhihi and antahkarana naischalyam. Do you remember that? Antahkarana shuddhihi and antahkarana naischalyam. So antahkarna shuddhi means mental purity, and antahkarna naishchalya means mental steadiness. So one should be mentally pure and steady. Being mentally pure and steady is the qualification required for this jnanam. No? Along with what? Study of the shastras with the proper teacher will help, no? Will contribute for the knowledge to rise only if you are qualified. Universities are there, professors are there, everything, libraries are there, everything is available. And how can I enter, register there as a student, unless if I am not qualified to enter there? Without having passed my, gone through my schooling, how can I enter the university? So here also you need the qualification, antakkana shuddhihi and naishchalyam, and for that, no other go. To become mentally pure and steady, to be blessed with the knowledge of the self, thereby, no, to be blessed with the knowledge of the reality, thereby to understand Bhagavan is the whole, to become free from all limitations, to be free from sorrow, to become, to discover happiness, the only way is what? Living a life of karma yoga. Okay, last class I explained to you. Living a life of karma yoga. Na anyaha pantha vidyate ayanaya. There is no other way. There is no shortcut method for this. No influence. Nothing can work. Other than living a life of karma yoga. And I said, living a life of karma yoga means what? Converting all the actions you are doing into yoga is living a life of karma yoga. How can you convert all the actions you are doing into yoga? What is yoga then? Yoga is not simply sitting and doing some exercises here. Yogaha means what? Yogaha, anything which prepares your mind for knowledge, which helps you to become emotionally mature. Anything which contributes for emotional maturity, anything which prepares your mind for knowledge, anything which helps you to be mentally pure and steady is yoga. Understand? And for which I said, first of all, to convert one's karma into yoga. All that you do can become yoga. Then you are a karma yogi. Your life is a life living. You live a life of karma yoga. How? First of all, one should have purushartha nischayaha. This is my point when I said purushartha nischayaha must be there. One must be very clear about the end being moksha. That is happiness. Then that happiness is something to be understood, should be very clear. That happiness is only understanding what the reality is, that should be very clear. Knowledge of the reality in the home of the self is the only means should be very clear. Then for that jnanam, I should be qualified. I should become pure and steady. One should understand the connection between becoming mentally pure and steady and the self-knowledge. Okay, connection must be understood. Unless I become mentally pure and steady, there is no way of my having the knowledge of the self. No meditation practices will help you without having mentally pure, mental purity and steadiness. And there is no way of having mental purity and steadiness without living a life of karma yoga. Why? Because living a life of karma yoga means living a life completely governed by dharma. A dharma governed life is a life of karma yoga. When I said a dharma governed life, I mean what? Whatever you do, this karma yogi, no yogaha karmasu kaushalam. In third chapter Gita, Krishna says, yogaha karmasu kaushalam yogaha. That means what? Many people say kaushala means skill, many people say efficiency, how many people say perfection? They use different words. But we say discretion in action is yogaha. Now point one. Discretion in action is yogaha. What is discretion in yoga? Discretion in action is yoga. How? That means the karma yogi. I told you last class, one has to play different roles, and playing different roles, one has to do many different types of actions. In playing all his role, every role, in doing, in implementing, executing, in doing all his actions, he chooses to do the right and avoids the wrong. Okay? He always is. And suppose if he happens to do a wrong action, an action which goes against the, which transgresses the universal values, and he withdraws himself from doing such a wrong action. And he, whether he likes or he doesn't like, if it is something right to be done, he does it. If it is wrong, he does not do it. It means what? The one whose actions, okay, are in conformity with dharma, the universal values. And one whose actions, no, one whose actions do not go by his whims and fancies, his likes and dislikes. I like it, therefore I do. I don't like it, therefore I don't do. No. I like it or I don't like it. If it is right, I do it. If it is wrong, I do not do it. Understand? Yogaha karmasu kaushalam. It is a very important quotation in Bhagavad Gita. Discretion in action is yoga. Means, before he does the action, he chooses, he thinks, whether this action, I have to do this action, I have this desire, I have to fulfill this desire. To fulfill my desire, I have to do this action. Whether this action is right or wrong, do I need to do anything against the values? He thinks and he chooses to do the right, avoids the wrong. Understand? So before doing the action, thoughtfully, trying to choose to do an action, right action, avoiding the wrong is what? Discretion in action. This is karmasu kaushalam. Yogaha. Then, and even if he chooses to do the right action, sometimes unknowingly if he may do some wrong action also, but knowingly he doesn't do anything wrong. And he has an attitude of offering it to Bhagavan. Remember that word? Ishvara arpana buddhya karanam. Doing all one's actions in conformity with dharma, then doing all that one does as an attitude, with an attitude of offering it to Bhagavan. It's Ishvara arpana buddhya karanam. Whatever he does, okay, I do it ultimately for moksha. Ultimately, I'm all my life, the whole life is I'm living for what? To discover what happiness is. And to discover that, I need to know the reality. And for that jnanam, I'm living. Understand? And for that jnanam, I had to become mentally pure and steady. I can't afford to be a split personality and then aiming for jnanam. If I had to avoid becoming a split personality, if I had to be, you know, integrated personality, if I have to, if my thought, word and deed should be in alignment, then definitely no choice, okay? I have to live a life of dharma. And all that I do it with an attitude of offering it to Bhagavan. Whatever you do, not only the prasadam you cook and offer it to Bhagavan, is bhagisharpanam. No. Everything I do, my breathing, my coming, my going, my sitting, all that I do it with an attitude of offering it to Bhagavan. The whole life I'm living is an offering, arpanam to Bhagavan. That attitude. It's called isharpana buddhya karanam. Then whatever comes in life also, he accepts it with an attitude of, with the sameness of mind. This I explained last class. I'm repeating because you're all not here. Whatever comes in life, every fraction of second, every minute, every day, every situation comes in life, he looks at it, he accepts it with the sameness of mind. Failure, accept it with sameness of mind. Success, sameness of mind. He remains the same towards success. He remains the same towards failure. Remains the same towards undesirable and the desirable situation. I explained to you, it is very difficult to remain the same. Samatvam yogaha. This is the word here. Samatvam yogaha means what? Remaining the same towards desirable or the undesirable situations such as failure or success or gain or loss or defeat or victory, honor or dishonor, pain or pleasure, whatever comes, he entertains the disposition of being the same to everything. That means he remains calm. How is it possible? Because the karma yogi is the one who is able to look at everything as prasada. If one cannot look at whatever happens in life as prasada, one cannot have the sameness of mind. It is impossible. How can you accept pain and pleasure with the sameness of mind? The prasada buddhihi. Okay? He accepts it with the sameness of mind, anything that comes. How? Because he is able to look at anything which comes in life as prasada.
Swami,
samatvam yogaha. Samatvam means sameness. See, the karma yogi accepts whatever happens in life, whatever comes in life, with the sameness of mind. He remains the same to desirable or undesirable situations. That makes him a karma yogi. How is it possible for him to be the same? Because he is able to look at everything as prasada. How is it possible for him to look at everything as prasada? Because he knows one thing. He understands a subtle fact. What is that fact? It is very difficult for us. It is easy to say, look at everything as prasada and accept everything is sameness of mind. It is easy to say. That is why we need some understanding of some subtle fact. Karma yogi understands this fact. What is now? We don't know. We have to convert ourselves into karma yogis. And so we are understanding now. What is that fact the karma yogi knows, which helps him to look at everything as prasada? So look at this. The karma, every karma definitely produces a phalam. No action ever goes without producing any result. This is law of karma. He knows this law of karma. No law fails. Okay? So here, what is the law of karma? There is no action which does not produce a result. All the actions definitely produce the result. Therefore, I will definitely get a phalam. Of whatever I do. So I am not anxious about whether I will get it or not. Okay? See, this understanding of this law of karma helps him to remain calm without being anxious about the result. Second thing, he knows definitely he will get the phalam. Then, whether the phalam will be desirable or undesirable, also he is not anxious about it. Will I get the result or not? If I get the result, will it be to my satisfaction or not? First, anxiety is what? Before doing itself, will I be successful or not? Will I be able to complete it or not? No, whether I will get the result or not. If I get the result also, will that result be to my expectation, satisfaction or not? It be more or less. Lot of anxiety. Always, every time we do any karma, we are always anxious about the fruit which is going to come later on. We are helpless. Whereas karma yogi is free from that anxiety. Why? Because he does it, everything in conformity with dharma. And he is very clear because he knows the value of dharma. And whatever he does it in an attitude of offering it to Bhagavan. Therefore, he is not anxious. And anything which comes also, he accrues the sameness of mind as prasada because he knows the law of karma, that karma definitely produces a phalam. And the second thing, he knows as a human being, important verse, karmani eva adhikaraha ma phaleshu kadachana. You have say over actions. That means what? Human being has choice over actions. How do you say choice over actions? Because human being is blessed with the free will. You are blessed with the free will. What is free will? The free will is the capacity to choose to do a given action. Every human being is blessed with the free will. Therefore, he has choice over actions. He can choose to do a given action. He can choose to avoid a given action. No, this action is against dharma. I had to go against dharma to fulfill that. No, I can refrain myself from doing it. That buddhi is there. He knows the values. He knows what is right and what is wrong. He knows the value of values also. Therefore, he can very well make effort to refrain from wrong action. He can very well make efforts to do the right action.
So, Swami, what about sometimes the tragic happens in your family and unexpected things happen sometimes? Tragic, like somebody, like a death.
I'm coming. Yeah, I'm coming to the point now. Let me finish it. Yeah. Let me finish it. I'll tell you. You keep all your doors. I'll let you finish this.
Yes.
You can ask me then and answer. So here, what I'm saying, these things, you know, whatever comes, that I'm coming, to come to the point. So definitely karma produces result. And here, this, he has choice over actions. Understand? He can choose to do the right action, but he knows very well, I have no choice over the results of actions. Understand? Karma yogi knows every human being has choice over actions. He can use his free will. He can choose to do the right action. He can avoid the wrong action. But the karma yogi also knows what? He has no choice over the results of actions. I can choose to do my action, but I cannot choose my result. I want this result. I want success. I don't want failure. I want pleasure. I don't want pain. I'll choose only pain, pleasure. I want to choose only victory. Understand? He has no choice over the results of fruits of actions. Why? Because results of actions are determined by the natural laws. In Sanskritam we have beautiful word, niyatayaha, niyatihi, yerkayin niyatihal. Niyati means law. Understand? So here, the natural laws determine or ordain the results of actions. Okay? Natural laws alone determine the results of actions. This subtle fact is a fact, promise, a fact. And the subtle fact, the karma yogi, he knows this fact. Now we also have to know this. We understand this now. And you can ask me, oh, how many natural laws are there then? Many, countless, innumerable. Where are they? They're there. They exist as part and parcel of the universe. Are these laws there? Definitely laws are there. Can we see through our physical eyes? No. You cannot see through your physical eyes. But can you understand? We can very well understand. We can understand the natural laws being manifest. But we cannot see the natural laws through our physical eyes. So, as an intelligent person, we exposed to Shastram, now, even in the very beginning, Karma Yogi knows, always, okay, I have choice over actions, but I don't have choice over results of actions. Results of actions are determined by the natural laws. Like what? Simple example, I can always give a simplest kindergarten example. You know, any heavy thing you take in your hand a heavy thing, you know, and just leave it. What will happen?
Phone.
The act of leaving a heavy thing, like suppose this is my phone. Okay, these are the keys now. They're not light thing. It has, no, it's a heavy thing. Understand? And I leave it. What will happen? Goes down. Understand? Why can't it fly? Anything you take and leave goes down. What is the law? Law of gravitation. Do you see the law of gravitation through your physical eyes? No. But still you understand the law of gravitation. isn't it? Similarly, if I have a balloon filled with air, I hold it like this, okay, and both the hands, I leave them together. Balloon does not come down. It floats. Why? See, another law of flotation. I don't see the law, but now I understand the law being manifest. Similarly, there are how many laws? I don't want to talk about the laws now. My idea is to make you understand. There's a law. Even, you know, you eat the food, it goes in, gets digested, there's a law. I tell you, everything is, you know, every action, knowingly done, unknowingly done, intentionally done, unintentionally done, every action is followed by a result, and which is determined by the natural law. And there are innumerable, countless natural laws. Natural laws alone determine the results of actions. Understand? And second thing, whatever comes, whatever happens, there must be cause behind it. Okay? From out of nothing, something cannot come into being. If pain comes, pleasure comes, loss comes, gain comes, it's all effects, results. There must be some reason why it is coming. Without a cause, without a seed, how can a sprout come? You throw the tomato into the garden so long ago, you forgot about it. But there's no sprouting, no plant, nothing. And when it started raining, after 6 months, 1 year, you see a small tomato sprout there and sapling there. Oh, I never put the seeds here. How come it is here? But there must have been a seed for the thing to sprout. Without a seed, how can it sprout? There must be a cause. This is basic, you know, common sense. So whatever pain or pleasure or loss or, you know, gain, whatever difficulty, whatever, you know, problem comes in life, there is a cause behind everything. He knows that. Understanding. There is definitely a cause. Nandrum teedum pirartara vara. Okay, nobody is responsible for my pain or my pleasure or my loss or my lot. Nobody is responsible. There's a cause behind it. And because I'm going to talk about the parabdha, etc. later on, okay, not immediately now. It's long, that's a big thing, big teaching. Anyway, so what I'm saying here, so the results determine, the laws determine the results of actions. There's a cause, that's why the result comes. And what are those natural laws? When you say everything is Ishvara, even though this is a fact, who is Ishvara? Who is Bhagavan? All that is there is only Ishvara. There is no second thing other than Ishvara. All that is there is only Bhagavan. And this is a fact about Bhagavan. This is the fact, it is said to be understood by me. All my life is to understand this fact of Bhagavan being the whole. Understand? At least now I have said some understanding. It's called Apatata Jnanam. I know all that is there is only Ishvara. There is no second thing other than Bhagavan. I have yet to ascertain this fact of Bhagavan being the whole. But now I know, because we are exposed to Shastram, all that is there is only Bhagavan. If everything is Bhagavan, Shastram says this fact. It is a fact which is to be understood. That means, if everything is Bhagavan, what about the natural laws? Natural laws also are what? Bhagavan. That's why this karma yogi accepts the fact revealed by the Shastram that all that is there is only Bhagavan. There is no second thing other than Bhagavan, Ishvara. Okay, the whole jagat is manifestation of the only reality. And that reality is something to be understood by me. Therefore, if everything is Ishvara, the natural laws also are Ishvara. Therefore, the natural law ordained result is what? Bhagavan's prasada. Is the trick. Understand? This karma yogi is able to accept anything which comes in life as with the sameness of mind. because he is able to relate to them as Bhagavan's prasada. He is able to look at anything which comes in life as prasada because he knows the natural laws alone determine the results of actions, and those laws are non-separate from Ishvara, the whole, Bhagavan, the whole. Understand? The prasada buddhihi is very important. Whatever comes is prasadaha. Once you are able to look at it as prasada, then you can accept it with sameness of mind. I told you an important point last week. It is very difficult to live a life of values in order not to transgress the values. Always. One needs an amazing, one needs a tremendous emotional strength to not to transgress values and to be able to live, do everything in conformity with dharma values, for which one has to be prayerful. Okay, only by being prayerful, knowing the values, knowing the value of values, understand, knowing the importance of living a life of values, in order not to transgress values, one needs a lot of strength, emotional strength, and for which one needs to be prayerful. Only by being prayerful, in praying to Bhagavan, by tapping grace, you know, to have strength to be able to live a life of values. So this, he's also highly prayerful. And he's very thankful to Bhagavan for all that he is blessed with. He is worshipful. Being worshipful means being thankful. And being prayerful means intelligently, with all humility, understanding one's helplessness, seeking Bhagavan's grace. Understand? To have emotional strength, no, to be able to live a life of values. Is it clear now? This is Karma Yogi. Karma Yogi lives a life of dharma. All his actions are governed by dharma, for which he remains strong, and to be strong, he is highly prayerful. O Lord, please bless me with the knowledge of right and wrong. O Lord, please bless me with the knowledge and strength to choose to do the right, to avoid the wrong. Please bless me with the knowledge, the clarity, knowledge of what I can change, what I cannot. Please bless me with the knowledge and strength to change what I can, to accept gracefully what I cannot. This is an all-inclusive, complete, exalted prayer based on Vedic vision. It is the best prayer, I tell you. This prayer is possible only if a person has Purushartha Nischaya. Only if a person has, knows the value of values. Only when a person understands, I know the importance of living a life of dharma, but I'm living in a society where I have hundreds of excuses, where I'd be cornered to go against dharma. How can I live? One needs a lot of strength, for which one needs Bhagavan's grace. So may I be placed, you know, in a conducive atmosphere that I can live a life of dharma. Listen, so this karma yogi is prayerful, and he is highly thankful to Bhagavan, worshipful, and he performs everything with an attitude of offering it to Bhagavan, which makes his, you know, he has Ishwarpana buddhihi with reference to performance of actions. And he is able to look at everything, he accepts with the sameness of mind because he is able to relate to them as prasada. He is able to look at everything as prasada because he looks at the natural laws which determine the results of, you know, actions as Bhagavan, be non-separate from Bhagavan. And he has prasada buddhihi, prasada buddhya svikaranam. He accepts everything as prasada. This is karma yogi. Understand? Why? Because he has Purushartha Nischayaha. Now tell me, if knowledge of the self, knowledge of the reality of the whole universe, and knowledge of Bhagavan, understand? Knowledge of what happiness is, all synonyms, one and the same. Not different things. If that is the end, then one can, one's life becomes different. Then he knows the value of knowledge, he knows the value of dharma, he knows the value, okay? Then he makes deliberate effort to live a clean life. So living a life of karma yoga is not an easy joke. It's a great thing. This is when a person is known as a spiritual person. Understand? A karma yogi is a spiritual person. Karma yogi is a spiritual person. By living a life of karma yoga, one becomes mentally pure and steady. Thereby, one develops the contemplative disposition of the mind. Then he is ready for knowledge. Is it clear? He is a spiritual person. I tell you one thing, the question may come. Okay, this is fine, karma yoga lifestyle, we understood. But what about bhakti? The question comes, what about bhakti? You say, only the na anyaha pantha ayanaya vidyate, there is no other path, there is no other way, no shortcut method for moksha. Knowledge is the only means. Because knowledge means what? Moksha is, ignorance is, see, what is that which distances happiness from you is the ignorance. So what is to be eliminated is ignorance. The only solution is what? You have to know what happiness is. Therefore, that's the only solution. There's no other go. And for that jnanam, it has to happen only in the mind. So the mind has to become pure and become clean. For which the only way is living a life of dharma with an attitude of offering it to Bhagavan. Isharpana buddhihi, Ishar prasada buddhihi. So live a life of karma yoga. Then the question comes, what about bhakti? Is bhakti, through bhakti can we attain Bhagavan? Now I tell you, karma, living a life of karma yoga is real devotion. Living a life of karma, a karma yogi who lives a life of karma yoga is a spiritual person and he is a real devotee. Okay? The next question, then who is the? And Shastram says, what about people who worship? What is then? What do we mean by worship then? Singing in praise of the Lord, singing bhajans, or singing classical music, or reciting mantras, chanting mantras, doing prayers at home, the camphor arati, incense sticks, offering, cooking naivedyam, offering, or doing prayer at home and going to the temple, going for pilgrimage and doing a lot of things, abhishekam, all those things, doing performing fire rituals, etc. All these things, what then? They're all karma. Understand? Now think. Singing is karma. Reciting is karma. Doing namaskaram is karma. Cooking naivedyam is karma. Offering the naivedyam is also karma. Going to the temple is karma. Doing the prakshinam is karma. Everything is karma. It's an action, all, they're all actions. Therefore, please understand here, the one who has known who Bhagavan is, one who has understood what the self is, what is the meaning of the word I, thereby one who has understood the truth of the whole universe, thereby the one who has understood the whole Jagat is the manifestation of only reality, therefore the whole Jagat is Bhagavan, one has known the truth, the jnani, is said to be the best of the devotees. I'm not telling you this. Bhagavad Gita says this. Who is the best of the devotees? A jnani who has understood this fact of Bhagavan being the whole, by knowing the truth of the whole Jagat, by knowing the truth of the whole jagat as the very self. A jnani is said to be the best of the devotees. Understand? And who can become the knower of the jagat, Bhagavan? Only one who wants to know. So the one who wants to know, the one who know who Bhagavan is, the one who wants to know what is the truth of the whole universe, what happiness is. I want to know what happiness is. I want to know what the truth is. I want to know that way the whole jagat is Bhagavan. I want to know what the self is. Understand? The thinker, one who wants to know, you know, is called Jignyasu Bhaktaha. Jnani Bhaktaha is the best of the devotees. And one who wants to know the self, thereby one who wants to know the self of the whole, all the beings, thereby one who wants to know the whole jagat being Bhagavan, okay? One who wants to know who Bhagavan is Jignyasu Bhaktaha. Jignyasu means one who wants to know. And he is the real devotee. Why? The real devotee alone can become the best of the devotees. Jignyasu Bhaktaha is the real devotee. Why he wants to know who Bhagavan is? Because he knows the value of knowing, value of knowledge. Why? Knowledge of Bhagavan will free me from samsara, will free me from bondage, will free me from all problems, will free me from unhappiness. Knowledge of the truth, you know, will free me, will help me understand what happiness is. Therefore, he knows the value of knowledge. Only the one who knows the value of knowledge of, you know, the truth. And he can aspire for truth. If you do not know the value of what you are asking, aspiring for, how can you aspire for? It is impossible for one to have desire for something, you know, which he does not know. He does not know the value of. Therefore, the Jignyasa Bhakta is the one who has Purushartha Nischaya and who knows the value of knowledge, thereby who is aspiring for knowledge. And he is the real devotee and he is the spiritual person. And this spiritual person, you know, the Jignyasa Bhakta, the real devotee, one wants to know who Bhagavan is, who, what the truth is, this person is highly ethical. Ethical and righteous. Why? Because all his actions are in conformity with dharma. Ethical person. He is ethical. And because he is also prayerful and he is also thankful to Bhagavan, he is also highly worshipful, he is also religious. A spiritual person, the Jignyasa Bhaktaha, a real devotee, is ethical as well as religious. Is it clear now? Because there is big confusion about who is religious and who is spiritual. Why I say spiritual, this Jignyasa Bhakta is a spiritual person and he is religious, I say. Why? He is also religious. Why? He is worshipful and he is prayerful. He prays to Bhagavan, seeks Bhagavan's grace, and he is also thankful to Bhagavan, therefore he is worshipful, therefore he is religious. And he is also ethical. Why? Because he knows the value of dharma, therefore he, you know, and he is committed to live a life of values. Therefore he is also ethical. Understand? This is Karma Yogi. Now you know, Karma Yogi is a spiritual person who is also religious as well as ethical, and he is a real devotee. There is no time he misforgets Bhagavan. Every action he does, he is desperate to act of offer. Understand now? Because the one who, see, living a life of values, living a life of dharma means what? Living in tune with the universal law and order. Living in harmony with the order. Understand? So living in harmony with the order means living in harmony with Bhagavan the whole. Understand? So living a life of dharma itself is what? He never forgets Bhagavan. It's not about thinking, okay, I have to think of Bhagavan all the time. Not like that. He's conscious of not disturbing the order. Understand? Therefore, now, Shastra Maha talks about other two devotees, you know, Artha Bhaktaha and Arthi Bhaktaha. This Artha, Artihi, Arthi, not Arthi, okay, Arthi means distress, pain. Artha Bhaktaha means a distressed devotee. Who is this distressed devotee? There are people who do not think of Bhagavan at all. When things are happening very smoothly, nothing happens, okay, hale and healthy, perfect, running around, going to work, earning, coming back, going for holidays happily. When things are happening to their satisfaction, expectation, very smoothly things are going, they forget Bhagavan. When very difficult things come, very sad things come, painful situations occur, then they think of Bhagavan. Then they go to astrologers first. Then they will tell, come on, you have to go to this Ketu Sthalam, do some pariharam. At least next time you have to go to India. And I have to visit go to Kashi, go there and give this money to this person and do this parihara puja. Or go to Navagraham or every Sabvakramai, go to this Murugan temple and light one lime lamp for Durga. Durga Valaketango. Oh, that's the only way you can overcome your difficulties. Somebody adjusts. So only when tough times come in life, only then they seek Bhagavan's grace. They pray to Bhagavan. Why? To overcome the difficulties. They are known as distressed devotees. Those who worship Bhagavan only when they are in distress. They are Artha Bhaktaha. Artha Bhaktaha. And there is another type of devotee who is Arthi Bhaktaha. Arthi Bhaktaha means what? Those who seek Bhagavan's, I don't worship Bhagavan, I feel very insecure. I don't feel good. Okay? Therefore, those who worship Bhagavan just to feel good and to preserve, to protect whatever Artha Kamas, wealth and prosperity, whatever comforts and pleasures they have in life, they want to protect them, preserve them. And they seek further Bhagavan's grace to accomplish further more wealth and prosperity and pleasures. Those who worship and seek Bhagavan's grace for security and pleasures, they are called Arthi Bhaktaha. Okay, so Artha Bhaktaha, Anarthi Bhaktaha, Jignas Bhaktaha, Jnani Bhaktaha. These are the four types of devotees discussed in Bhagavad Gita. There is no fifth type of Bhakta. Okay, of all the devotees, listen, Artha Bhaktaha, those who worship Bhagavan when they are in trouble. And Arthi Bhaktaha, those who pray to Bhagavan, worship Bhagavan only for Artha and Kama, prosperity and security and pleasures. So these two, Artha Bhaktaha and Arthi Bhaktaha, they do not have Purushartha Nischayaha. Do not have Purushartha Nischayaha. They do not know the value of knowledge. They do not know the value of becoming mentally pure and steady. Therefore, they do not know the value of values. Therefore, they may be ethical, they need not be, they may not be ethical. They may be worshipful and prayerful. Okay, that is why worshipful, prayerful people need religious people. Okay, people who are religious need not be ethical, may be ethical, need not be ethical. And there are also people who are highly ethical, but they don't believe in worshipping and prayer, they need not be religious. There are some people who are very ethical, very good people, but they are not religious. So being ethical is important. Without being ethical, there is no way of becoming pure and steady, but being ethical itself is not enough. Understand? Being ethical is important, but being ethical itself is not important. One has to be worshipful and prayerful. So if you are simply prayerful and worshipful, if you are religious, that is not enough if you are not ethical. Understand? One has to be ethical, one has to be religious. Understand? Those who are religious may be or need not, may not be ethical. Those who are ethical need not be religious. They not be spiritual also. Understand? Whereas a spiritual person is these two, those who do not have Purushartha Nischaya are not spiritual. Those who do not know the Purushartha, those who do not have Purushartha Nischaya, oh, moksha is my ultimate end, knowledge is my ultimate goal. If that is not clear, if they don't have Purushartha Nischaya, they cannot be spiritual. They are not spiritual. Understand? Therefore, the spiritual person is the one who has Purushartha Nischaya, and the spiritual person is the one who is a real devotee, who wants to know, and this spiritual person knows the value of being ethical, therefore he is ethical and he is religious. Understand? Whereas other two people need not be spiritual and ethical. Understand? And is it clear now? Therefore, now tell me, what is bhakti? That is why when I said singing, I don't say it is useless. Singing bhajans, reciting mantras, chanting mantras, doing namaskarams, doing pujas, they're all important. Karma. Understand? Very important. Going to the temple, everything is important. But even all those karmas also become yoga only if you have Purushartha Nischaya. Understand? If the Purushartha Nischaya is not there, even the act of going to the temple, act of singing bhajans, act of offering naivedyam, etc., everything becomes just a karma. It's a punya karma. You will have some punya. See, whether you have Purushartha Nischaya or not, whatever karma you do, that is a punya. Good karma you do, it does produce a phalam. It is called punya karma. Understand? It does produce some punyam, but that does not mean it will not pave way for antahkarna shuddhi and naishchalyam. It will not contribute for maturity, it will not contribute for your mental purity. Understand what I say? Therefore, all these karmas are very important. Even this worship, okay, worship is an action. I told you once again, I can tell you again, what is worship? See, worship is an action. What is worship? Worship is a symbolic act of offering. Because there is no real offering. Bhagavan, we say, everything is Bhagavan. And you are part of Bhagavan, you are part of the whole Bhagavan. And how can, who is the Bhagavan? How can you offer anything to Bhagavan? Yourself being part of Bhagavan, the whole. Therefore, there is no real offering. So, worship is only a symbolic act of offering. Through which, I reveal my gratitude to Bhagavan, the whole. Why do you need to reveal gratitude to Bhagavan? Because I acknowledge the contribution of Bhagavan in the form of the devatas. What do you acknowledge? The sun, the moon. In our culture, we look at every natural phenomenon as a devata. Okay, every sun, moon, stars, air, fire, earth, okay, all the elements, any trees, woods, forests, understand? Even village, grama devata, vana devata, vriksha devata, jala devata, nadi devata, mountain devata. My God, every natural phenomenon is amazing culture. We were able to look at everything as devata. Devata means what? A deity. What is deity? A given natural phenomenon. Everything is devata. In fact, our heart is a devata, kidney is a devata, Everything is devata for us. Every plant is a devata. That is why we can worship snake, tree, anything. Everything you worship. Why? Because every natural, any natural phenomenon is looked upon as a devata. Devata means deity. Understand now? And we say, all the phenomena, all the devatas together constitute Ishwaraha Bhagavan, the whole. Is it clear now? Now tell me, for us to live this life, to do anything, any scientific development, technological development, any achievement, okay? Any achievement is possible only if you are energetic. You have to think, use your mind, think to discover anything, to achieve anything. You have to physically do things. Understand, any achievement is possible only if you are energetic. And for you, your pranas must be now energized. And for you to be energetic, physically energetic, if you don't have energy, you can't even think, you'll faint. To be energetic, basic necessity was, basically we want food. And I tell you, we cannot produce one grain. Even if I go to the shop and pay the pounds and buy things, just go buy and come. I tell you, it's not that easy. Somebody has to somewhere grow things and export. You go to the shop and buy and come. We can't eat stone and sand. We can't eat, the pounds. We can't eat anything. We can't eat nut and bolt. We need only proper food, digestible, nutrition. Therefore, the food, in fact, is what? See, the food we eat, the shelter we live, where we live, the clothing we wear, all that, where do we get from, basically? They're all, I tell you, generous, magnanimous contribution of the devatas, the natural phenomena. All that we enjoy, the basic things, food onwards. Once we think and see, even though I don't do agriculture, okay, but still I cannot eat anything other than rice and whatever the vegetables and stuff. So, and once I think this, my God, if there's no sun, there's no water, there's no oxygen, there's no carbon dioxide, there's no mother earth has to yield. Therefore, when I think and see, all these devatas, all these phenomena together contribute tremendously for my well-being. For me to keep going, they all contribute a lot. When I see this, I acknowledge their contribution. Understand? When I acknowledge their contribution, I feel very humble and grateful. Therefore, I want to express my gratitude to them. Even though they don't expect my gratitude, expression of my gratitude. Understand, still it is a will involved, very thoughtful action. Therefore, it produces phalam. It will bless one with prosperity. Understand? Therefore, this worship is a symbolic act of offering, okay, to the devatas through, offering through which I reveal my gratitude to the devatas, acknowledging their contribution for our well-being, for my well-being. This is worship. Whereas prayer is you pray for something you want. So in prayer there is no worship, but in worship prayer is implied. Oh Lord, thank you very much. You have blessed me with all these things, and please don't forget to bless me always, okay? Always keep on giving everything that I want. The prayer is implied. So in worship, prayer is implied, whereas in prayer, there is no worship. Understand? Therefore, one has to be prayerful, one has to be worshipful. It's very important for Karma Yogi. Understand? This is worship. Now tell me, worship, all that we do is what? No? Singing. It's all different types of the singing in place of the Lord. And all, suppose you perform a fire ritual, that is a type, different type of, this is a type of worship. The form of worship is different from the one. You do an abhishekam, that is a form of worship, and you kindle fire, offer oblation, that is a different form of worship. The forms of worship are different, but spirit behind all these forms is one and the same. Thanking Bhagavan. Understand? So it's not a waste of time or energy or anything. It is highly meaningful, highly significant one. And worship is it's all actions through which you express your gratitude. You offer so many things. And at last you do so many things you offer, at last you fall flat. You do namaskaram. You express, "Oh Lord, please accept me also." That means what? Accept me mean what? Reveal your sorupam to me. Reveal thy sorupam to me. Reveal thy sorupam, which is there as myself, to me. Thereby, help me, understand myself being non-separate from you. That prayer is implied through the act of falling flat. Is it clear? Am I very fast? It's okay, I'll be repeating a lot. Don't worry, I'll be repeating too many times. And I want to tell you, I'm too ambitious, okay? I won't say everything overnight. Is it clear now?
Yes.
So with that, the worship comes to an end. I mean, even when perform a ritual also, the last ahuti is called Purna Ahuti. Purna Ahuti means the final oblation, the final offering, with which the offering becomes complete. What is that offering which the act of offering becomes complete? The offering the offerer himself, the act of offering becomes complete. Because offering cannot be done anymore further. Why? Because the offerer is not there. That is the Purnahuti. Understand? Anyway, I'll explain to you. I'm going to talk to you about the significance of worship later on in the following classes. In different contexts, I'll do that. Today, why I want to tell you all these things together, I told you, living a Vedic way of life, a Sanatana Dharmaha, the eternal way of life, means living a life of Karma Yoga. Living a life of Karma Yoga is what? With this attitude with which you perform the karma, how you do the karma, okay, with Purushartha Nischaya, that converts all the actions you do into worship. For a karma yogi, work is worship. Does not mean he does not worship. I told you, he is highly worshipful, highly prayerful. Understand? All that he becomes, thus he becomes worship. Why? Because of his attitude with which he performs. Understand? If a person is not a karma yogi, there's no Purushartha Nischaya, if he is not spiritual, okay, if there's no karma yoga, then only artha bhakta or arthi bhakta. Even the work, the worship, the act of offering, etc., going to temple, praying, worshiping, everything is good. One has to do. Even that karma becomes yoga for a karma yogi. Whereas for the person who's not a karma yogi, your worship becomes only work. Karma. Just the karma. Understand? How to convert karma into yoga. If you know, then all that you do becomes worship. If you are not a karma yogi, the act of worshipping also becomes only karma. It is not yoga. Is it clear? Now you know what bhakti is all about. We were all simply karmis. Now we have converted ourselves into karma yogis. This transformation, this conversion is possible on the part of a human being only if a person has Purushartha Nischayaha. Only a person knows the value of knowledge. Only a person knows the value of values. Only a person knows that I had to become mentally pure and steady. If he commits to live a life of values, you ask Ishwarapana Buddhihi, Anishwara Prasada Buddhihi, then he is a spiritual person. Is it clear? So, you want to ask me something?
No, it's okay.
Well, you can ask me now.
Doubt
was clear? Not it.
No, this was a discussion we had last week. And the sailor to him, all this having temple and all that.
Mm.
And why it happened to
them? Yeah, because they didn't have the spiritual problem.
They were not spiritual. They were not religious people.
Religious.
That is why being religious is nothing wrong, but being spiritual is only then the spirituality. That's why Purusharth is just not that. What spirituality is it?
So if somebody is religious and somebody is just spiritual.
No. The spiritual person is religious, is ethical. That's what I said. Is spiritual, is ethical. See, again we understand all these actions we do. At least this karma yogi sings bhajan. No, I don't say he's not worshipful. See, singing bhajan is very important. Singing prayer of the Lord is very important. Religious loka is important. Going to temple is important. I don't say you should do it, okay? It's all very meaningful actions. All these actions are very important. Please understand, worshipping means, what I say, how can I worship Bhagavan? I told you, worshipping means what? Thanking. How can, what all forms you can thank? By singing in place of the Lord. Simply singing. We don't know Bhagavan, who Bhagavan is, but still, without knowing how great he is, still we flatter Bhagavan. Okay? She's like, flattering somebody, not knowing who the person is, okay?
But then, you say work is worship.
So work becomes worship only if there's a Purusharth Nischaya.
Yeah. So if, say, your worship is your work and what you do for others, you don't sit there and sing hymns or...
No, you don't need to sing hymns, but still one should be thankful.
Yeah.
The guy
so
must be there.
You have that feeling.
Yeah. That's what I'm saying. That is what I'm saying. See,
it's ethical as well.
Yeah.
No. One has to be ethical. Ethical means one has to, being ethical means living the values. Taking up the values, okay? Not going against the universal values. Like speaking the truth, etc. I explained to you long ago. See, one thing, a small thing what I want to tell you. See, all these different things, which constitute the act of worshipping, one can do. Okay, what is possible? So you can't every day big home at home. You can't big puja every day at home. And it's like the lamp, do namaskaram and go away. What is possible? We are doing it in possible ways. Understand? I don't say you should do it. I don't say it is wrong to do it. It's very important to do it. If possible, you can do it. Again, priorities. As I'm saying, what the Purusharth Nischaya is there, then you are aspiring for knowledge, then whatever you do see your duty and do your duty in conformity with dharma, prayerfully, worshipfully, thankfully. Being thankful to Bhagavan is being worshipful. I don't say that you express your thanks to the act of offering. If you can't offer it, even your own duty becomes sometimes. That's what I'm saying. Only for a karma yogi, anything you do becomes worship. It
so
did not
ethical,
be.
Ethical is.
Being righteous,
is,
yeah.
Being righteous.
Righteous.
So we know there's a natural knowledge that we have which allows us to be ethical.
Ethical.
So our conscience tells us this is right, this is wrong, isn't it? So we should always go with the conscience.
Yeah, we can go. See, in spite of knowing the values, I know what is right, I know what is wrong, but still sometimes I go against values.
Mm-hmm.
That is, Shadam, I told you once, Duryodhana says in Mahabharatam, I know what is right, I know what is wrong, but still I'm not able to give up the right. You're not able to do the right. I'm not able to give up the wrong things. Janami dharmam nachame pravruttihi. Janami adharam nachame nivruttihi. He says that, I know what is right and I know what is wrong, but I'm not able to do the right. I'm not able to give up the wrong. That means what? This is how we are all Duryodhanas. We all know values. Why? Because we do not know the value of values. What is the value of values? I do not know the greater value of what I am going to lose than the value of what I am going to gain by going against values.
Oh.
Simple thing. Understand? So this is, there's a knowing the value of values itself is possible only if there is Purusharthan Nischaya. Then the Purusharthan Nischaya is the basic thing, and therefore I've been talking for all these classes. Is it clear now? That is why it is very difficult to live a life of values. Very difficult. That is why one has to be prayerful. That is why one has to be worshipful. To seek Bhagavan's grace. Living a life of values is not that easy. That is why...
Punya-papa-karma also.
No, punya-papa-karma is different. It's not because of vidhi. See, now you have choice. See, always people do something wrong. And they say, they put the blame on vidhi. I tell you, the result you cannot undo. The pain or pleasure, what comes in life is your paradha. Okay? I'm going to talk to you about later on about it. But now you have choice. You have choice. You, every time you do the karma, you have choice. You can choose to do the karma. It is your in your hands. You have willpower. You can't say, I didn't want to do, but I still do. You can't, because you have choice. See, that's what I'm saying, to use that will. No, see, always making efforts to do the right, avoid the wrong, means what? Surrendering one's will to Bhagavan. I have surrendered. What? I'll do only the right. I won't do the wrong. And for which I also always am prayerful. Please, hey Bhagavan, please bless me with the knowledge of right and wrong. Please bless me with the knowledge, the clarity and strength to choose to do only the right, to avoid the wrong. I have to beg, pray intensely. We don't pray. We don't know what to pray for. This is what is asking for nalla buddhiya kudu Bhagavane. I tell you, from childhood, one good thing about our culture is, always all of us have been taught one good thing. When you go and pray, ask for good buddhi from Bhagavan. You know what is good buddhi? It's the good buddhi. Asking for the knowledge, the clarity and strength to do the right thing, to avoid the wrong thing, is good buddhi. We've been taught. We don't know. We don't know what we're asking for, but we've been taught to do this.
Swami Archana Kandeva, therefore, I want to pray. If it is not possible, sometimes they say, without anugraha,
then you cannot pray.
For choice, pray. It is my choice to pray.
Illa, my choice kadayade. See, what I'm
saying,
that is true. Without Bhagavan's grace, nothing will happen. You see, at least some grace was there. You're exposed to the classes. Okay? Now you know the value of prayer. You know the efficacy of prayer. Prayer as an action. It's a will inward auto-suggestion. It's an action. And it definitely produces a phalam. I told you, all the law of karma, you know, no action goes without producing a result. And now you know prayer is an action. It is a will inward auto-suggestion. Because you are part of Bhagavan, the whole you are praying to. And worship also is an action, therefore it is effective. That's what I am saying, once you know, prayer one thing. Without Bhagavan's grace, nothing happens. As I am saying, even to pray to Bhagavan, one should have some grace. That is true, I don't say no. But at least we have some, no? Even to pray to Avanaral Avantal Patri, we said that. Even to pray to Bhagavan, we should have some grace. Some punya must be there. We have to think of. That is true. But what I am saying, but praying means not always I'm doing the big pujas and all those things. That's a worship. See, how you, the worship, I don't say you should do, how elaborately, how it, which big, in a big way you should do. I don't say that. Worship means, consciously, thoughtfully being grateful to Bhagavan for all that Bhagavan has blessed us with. Is being worshipful. And you can express it in different forms. Going to the temple and doing puja at home and doing pujas and offering food. Different ways you can express. That's what I'm saying. If you understand what is worship, then you have choice. you can go and feed the poor. You can say, okay, this is what I'm doing. This is my worship. You know, understand the significance of worship. It does not mean it's a waste of thing, because when you go to Abhishekam, do Abhishekam, we propitiate, we thank all the devatas. It's not a waste of thing. Waste of money, waste of thing, waste of anything. It is meaningful. But you should do it properly. Not for any competition, or not for any just a show off and all that. Similarly, when you perform a ritual, fire ritual, Agni Eswaha, Vayav Eswaha, when you offer, you acknowledge the devatas. Definitely, you are blessed. I tell you, when you propitiate the devatas, definitely a thoughtfully done action is definitely blessed. You will be propitiated in return. There's no doubt. Understand? But that's why I'm saying, still you have willpower, you can still pray. Okay? Please bless me. I always, that's why there are some Shankara says none other than Shankara, less than Shankara. My God, Shankara Mahatma Jnani. He doesn't need to pray at all. And he says, oh Lord, may this sentence be always in my mouth. What is the sentence? Narayana Karunamaya Sharanam Karavani Tavako Charano. Oh Karunamaya, hey Narayana. No? May I surrender to thy feet. May this sentence be always in my mouth. Shankara says that. Please bless me to be prayerful. He says that. That's why we seek only grace, okay? If you're not able to be prayerful, and pray for that also. That's the only way. No other go. Purnamadah Purnamidam Purnat Purnamudachyate Purnasya Purnamadaya Purnameva Vasishyate Om Shanti 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 Harihi Om Tat Sat Sri Guru Bhyo Namaha.